particularly the port of Odessa, the number three largest city in the Ukraine. And over half of its imports and exports come out of it. As you know, they're one of the world's largest producers of wheat and grain and corn and also iron ore. So if they can control this, they can cut off the livelihood of a lot of Ukraine. So what they've been trying to do is first and foremost, that was 4 weeks ago. Now we see the people out there. They're being bombed and shelled. There's 50,000 buildings, and they're starting to conduct German warfare for the first time in this area. That is going to take weeks and weeks, I think, to do this. As long as they maintain the will to resist the Russians, basically. I mean, it's going to be a terrible time for them to use food and water, but that's ongoing out of America. They also want to take Mykolaiv, which is another city of about 500,000.
Russia trains long-range missiles as ground assault stalls. Yeah, I was just reading some real interesting stuff on Twitter about the Russia war. One laser in particular has a long, like, I don't know, at least 10, 15 tweets in a row about his analysis. And I guess it's what he's been doing for years as a living. And he's like, he knows the fronts that they're opening and everything going on pretty intimately.
Right now, Ukrainians seem to be.
What has happened?
Yeah, normally at first, the jewel there on the Black Sea. I also want to ask you about something that I think Americans are not used to seeing in their military.
It's kind of like when you've got a sporting team that's a lot better than the other team. You still got to play the game.
With general level officers, the fifth general officer just killed. What does that tell you?
It tells me that they have some huge leadership, the communications, and morale. During the entire Korean War, America's lost two generals. During the entire war in Afghanistan and Iraq, Major General Harold Green was our only officer, a good friend of mine, a wonderful officer. They lost five in less than 4 weeks of fighting. And what does that say? They're having communication problems. We know that their secure networks have already been inoperable, but not yet. So they're essentially using single channels for the communications lines. They're being jammed. When that happens, they have to resort to cell phones. The Russians essentially cut off the Russian prefix for using cell phones. So they have to resort to stealing and phoning from the Ukrainians in order to talk to the front lines. So what happens is you have general officers that can't communicate with their folks, so they're going down to the front lines, and when they do that, they expose themselves. They get picked off by snipers. The other thing they're showing is about leadership. The Russians do not have an operational officer. They centralize all decision making. So they don't have people down at the tip of the spear that can make decisions that receive the initiative instead of going left, go right at the fork of the road because of the evolving tactical situation. So when they don't have that capability, the Russian senior leadership needs to go down. The third thing
Ukraine claims another Russian general killed during heavy fighting.
The Russians, because they're not picking up the
first Russian.
A competent army like the American army, who never in all the time. So that says terrible things about the state of morale inside the Russian army.
It is a sniper to see from an American perspective. So thank you so much. Really, really appreciate this. John?
All right, breaking overnight. A Chinese airliner carrying 132 people crashed in a mountain region of southeast China. China Eastern Airlines, in a statement, confirmed one of its Boeing 737 passenger planes with 123 people and 9 crew members on board had crashed. Chinese state media says rescue teams were sent to the crash site, which is difficult to reach. It is potentially China's worst air disaster in at least a decade. The Chinese President Xi Jinping is calling for a full investigation. New tracking data shows the flight climbed more than 25,000 feet in less than 2 minutes. China Eastern Airlines, along with Boeing, switched their websites in China to black and white as a sign of respect to the victims. new overnight. The key Ukrainian city of Mariupol coming under heavy bombardment. Officials say bombs falling every 10 minutes. Plus, a small Ukrainian town fighting back against Russian forces and holding the line. We have the extraordinary story.
I don't just play some.
Cities we're watching today, and what is involved over the weekend that people should know about?
Mika, it seems like Russia has really gone on phase two of their invasion. They've taken places, now they're trying to secure them and essentially create some attrition over time. The bad news, the strikes in Lviv this weekend and down here in Mykolaiv using cruise missiles and even reports of hypersonic missiles, which are difficult. They move at incredible speeds, very maneuverable, hard for air defense systems to really interdict them. And they have killed several batches of Ukrainian soldiers and civilians in different locations. Separately, I think there's three things to watch. Here in Kyiv, last week I would have thought they would be trying to encircle, but they have been stuck in many places here, meeting stiff resistance. And instead of seeing an encirclement, you're starting to see them dig into the defensive positions. The belief is they're going to try and bring artillery in closer in range so that they can hit key targets in Kyiv city center. At this point, they're still just firing long-range missiles in. Also, this axis here, where this convoy, this armor column has essentially been stopped again. Their rear supply lines have been hit. They can't get fuel in. And so this has really caused a stalemate where I think you're seeing them try and push artillery forward so they can do sustained indirect fires. Separately, the east is really the place to watch. Last week we talked about the intense battles around Kyiv, the counteroffensives of the Ukrainian military, but they've tried to advance down here to a location known as Izium. Izium, which is about right in here, is essentially a point by which the east over here in Donbass can be connected with this corridor. And again, the Ukrainians, they're even doing counteroffensive, limited counteroffensives. The Russians taking sustained casualties and intense damage here, losing lots of armored vehicles. Izium is the place to watch, I think, in the east. Separately, we got to look to the south. We started off talking today about this extreme devastation here in Mariupol. Mariupol, the Russians are just increasingly attriting. They're moving very small increments, trying to surround that city. This is an awful situation with essentially trains coming in, moving people into Russia. Two things to watch here, and really the big one, is Mykolaiv. Mykolaiv is what they need, the Russians need to take here. The Ukrainian military continues to stop in Mykolaiv, and if they can hold, it will make it very difficult for the Russians to go for Odessa.
Clint Watts, thank you very much. Coming up, the war is having devastating consequences, not just in Ukraine and Russia, but across Europe and Africa as well. We'll take a look at how food supplies are being impacted. That's next on Morning Joe.
Making the new variant dubbed BA2 could cause an uptick in COVID cases, but probably will not amount to a full-scale surge. The infection rate is now at its lowest point since last July. An English soccer legend, David Beckham, turning his Instagram account over to a hero doctor saving the world in Ukraine.
I'm handing over my social media to Irina, the head of the regional perinatal center in Kharkiv, Ukraine.
Looks like they're going to hit a million COVID-19 deaths either on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week.
And this is Monday.
And I'm talking about in the U.S.
Wow, I never even thought of that. What a great idea.
Beckham's a good soccer player.
Meanwhile, 30 minutes before the top of the
it's hour, when he was like, top 100 players.
The price at the pump never
across
seems to
the
go
pond.
Down. Whatever
then
the
he came to the U.S.
is,
and he's like top
and we understand
top
that there
five.
Are lots of fluctuations between the time that it comes out and the time that it gets to the pump, but the reality is there's clear profiteering from these oil companies.
Unbelievable. This is we learned oil and food executives are reportedly invited to the White House today to discuss this very issue. Now, Trump used to televise this stuff. He'll be closed. Joining us now, former National Economic Council Director and host of Cuomo at 4 o'clock every single day. A big ratings hit. Fox Business's own Larry Kudlow. Larry, welcome.
Jesus.
First off, is it right to vilify oil
it
companies?
Looks like they might be charging some more airline miles than before.
America.
It's like Alaska might have added some extra miles to some of their flights and stopped. Maybe stop some of their flights altogether and also stop offering them for miles, people, miles, legs. I'm not sure if that has to do with inflation or business or what. But instead of, it probably would have been 25,000 or more, it was 30,000 miles.
I mean, go ahead, go to the Justice
Department.
Sometimes
less than that, sometimes
it's just 20. Go to the Federal Trade Commission, come up with some evidence. Not one. So it's just a bogus political thing. And by the by,
if they were only flying on certain days, too. And that was unique. I'd never seen that before. I used to be able to search every single day of the week there was a flight leaving. And now there was only, I would say, half a dozen flights throughout on different days of the month.
A lot of them make more money, you know, they have these small supermarket type things. The gas pump stuff is just an excuse to go in there. So anyway, show me the money. Show me any evidence, Brian. Then we can look at it. So far they got zero. Who's that? Nothing. Just a bunch of socialists.
The wall encirclement, like in a city like Mariupol on the Sea of Azov coast further to the east, is unlikely to happen here, really, because Russian troops are just not getting the job done on the ground at all. They keep being pushed back relentlessly, particularly towards Kherson. What instead Moscow is going to do is launch more strikes against places like this. Busy residential areas that are coming back to life again and now dealing with the ferocity of a blast here or there, often at dusk, in the city centre just this morning, that may be the new normal as they see Moscow's wrath manifested in heavy explosives. Brianna?
Yeah. It is so interesting just to see people walking around either behind you carrying bags or here to be shopping. Nick, thank you so much. Really appreciate that update.
Joining us now, a journalist covering the war and Atlantic Council fellow Vladislav Davidson.